Another showy.
Yes, that it is.
This is show number 250.
Woot.
For Sunday, November 4th, 2007. My name is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Sitting here in my office across the room from me is E.
Hello, everybody.
E says hello. I don't know if this show is going to be a long show or a short show. I want to also back up a little bit. People, when we sit down to do the show, I don't know if it's going to be an hour long, 2 hours long, or 20 minutes long. We just kind of go. At least I do. I don't know about you.
I know it's going to be the show after Halloween.
It is the show after Halloween.
That's about what I figured out.
Okay. That's about it. And the show that's after Halloween or about Guitar Hero 3 or whatever you want to talk about. I have a couple interviews coming up. I have Call of Duty 4, nice. The multiplayer designer for that. He's going to talk about that. That comes out next week or this week, depending upon when you're listening. Or it's already out, depending upon where you're listening.
Yeah, that really doesn't work in podcasting.
Yeah, it doesn't because there's no concept of time.
There's our time frame that we're in right now as we're recording this.
Right.
And that's all we know.
And I am going to have a spoiler-free interview with some of the guys from Portal.
Okay, we might as well just get this out
and
of the way.
And I say
then.
Spoiler-free because E came on the show last week and you said that, well, most people finished the game. And we got more than one or two messages. I just forwarded them right on to you.
And I got a few messages over live. So for anyone who feels I spoiled Portal for them, I'm sorry. What I did say, though, it's definitely a side portion of the game. It's not the main storyline.
No.
I did not give away the big twist at the end. If it took any enjoyment away from the game, though, I'm sorry. I will attempt not to do that again.
Thank you, E. So I have a big interview with the guys that worked on Portal. And then we have a bunch of other stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about your Halloween party.
Yep. The Halloween party that you were invited to, right? Repeatedly?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yes.
And you...
Did not go.
Yeah. You sucked.
Did not go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely stiffed you. So we've got some other things coming up. We're going to talk about Gears of War for PC.
Right.
I have a copy of Gears of War PC to give away.
Nice.
So we'll give that away. I have a
copy. Does it come with a PC?
It does not come with a PC. This is just the game itself. I'll also give away, I got a copy of Transformers in HD, which you and I have taken a look
it's
at.
It's very nice.
So we'll have that in there as well. And I just dropped it. I actually just
Luckily,
dropped it.
They're both solid state.
Yeah, so I just dropped that here. So we've got, why don't we kick off the show with, what do you want to talk about, E?
Haven't we already kicked off the show?
I guess we have. We've talked about the interviews. You want to go down the list up there?
Okay, let's...
Last Sunday, which is when the show aired last week, Guitar Hero 3 shipped.
Yep.
And you got your copy.
I got Guitar Hero 3. We played a ton of it at the Halloween party. There goes a fire truck, lights going, and ambulance, and wow, hope somebody's okay. So played a ton of Guitar Hero 3 last night. It was going pretty much nonstop. There were some amazing talents there. I mean, people
really?
Like getting consistently 90%+ on expert. It was scary.
Look at my gamer card.
So...
I have not played it yet. Not because I don't like the game, just because I'm so embarrassingly bad at it.
Yeah, I need to take a couple hours and just, you know, put in some time, go through it on Medium. The person who was just amazingly good last night, a bunch of your listeners will probably know who this is. She used to be known as Ekers from the Fragdolls.
Right.
She's not a Fragdoll anymore, but she lives in the area.
What happens to Fragdolls after they're done being Fragdolls?
They get other jobs.
They go out to pasture and become other?
I don't believe you just said she went out to pasture. Well, I'm going to tell her you said that.
She's listening to the show anyway.
So she came to the party.
Yeah.
And she's phenomenal.
What party
guitar
was this?
Hero. I had no idea.
What party was this?
The Halloween party that you didn't come to.
Talk about that.
The one that we called you. Yeah. And yeah, because anyways, she was amazing. Just hadn't played GH3 yet. Had played a bunch of GH2.
Mm-hmm.
Going right through things on expert. It was...
She's just ripping right through it.
Yeah, she's.
Was she playing under E under your profile?
No, I don't think she was. I haven't actually looked. I would assume not. But
because when I saw during the party, I looked at your gamer card and people were playing GH3.
Well, I was playing for a little while,
okay.
Which was holding the guitar in my costume was a little challenging.
So your costume. So let's. Why don't we just go right into the party? Let's get that out of the way.
Okay.
So you had your party on Wednesday night,
right?
Because that's Halloween.
Yeah. Although everybody else is having their party either the weekend before or the weekend after.
Right.
But
you can't really
have
it the weekend after because when you're standing in 7-Eleven getting something to drink at 2 o'clock in the morning at the beginning of November, you look like an ass. Your costume.
What does being at 7-Eleven at 2 o'clock?
Well, what I'm saying
is
when you're out, you can't have a party after it. You kind of have to have it before.
Okay,
that's
I'll
my
buy
point.
That.
That's my point.
And I couldn't do it before because I was out of town.
Right.
So I did it on Halloween, and it was great. It was a fun party. So we mentioned this last week. I went as a weighted companion cube,
which is one of the characters in the aforementioned Portal.
Yes. And
do we have photos of you up on this?
There are for. Those of our listeners who hunted me down on Facebook, there are a number of pictures of me in my costume up there.
And they rose to my Facebook challenge last week. We'll talk about that later on.
They totally did. And I got to give props to my girlfriend and Dirty Diva and a couple of other people who pitched in for thank you so much for the costume because it was a ton of work, none of which I could have pulled off. But it actually looked really cool.
Good.
But it was... I mean, being that it was a large cube, it was rather difficult to actually hold a guitar. It was also very interesting to try and figure out how to drink. I had to, like, lean over forward, grab the beer bottle by the very bottom, and then kind of move the part of my arm that came out of the box up to the side and to the right and my head and then kind of tilt the whole costume. And it was quite the effort. So eventually around 11 o'clock, I decided I was hungry. And I couldn't eat like that. So
did you de-box?
I de-boxed.
So de-cubed.
Which was not easy.
So. In fact, there's photos up there of it. I saw those photos.
That was... They had to cut the armholes a little bit at the very end because the first time I tried to put it on, I got one arm in and I started to get the other arm in and I got an elbow stuck in a corner of the box and I was in there for a while.
So people were playing Guitar Hero 3 at your party.
Guitar Hero 3.
You had the demo of Seen It.
Yep. Seen It was going for a while.
Do you have Viva Pinata Party Animals?
No, it was Which the game playing was GH3, Seen It, and Halo 3.
Okay.
I actually was expecting Viva to get some playtime, but we just never got around
just
to
never
it.
Got around to it. So the party was great. Now, so I'm at home. You invited me.
How would you know?
Well, because that's what everyone, I looked at the photos.
Oh, okay.
I was at home and I had emailed you and I said, look, I'm not going because my wife had been out of town earlier in the week. She's going out of town at the end of the week right now. And I was like, I got to spend some time with my wife.
No, you could have brought her.
First of all, you live on the other side. You live like way on the... She didn't want to go. It was funny because we're eating dinner.
She knows she's invited.
Right. She knows that. She knows that. But she looks at me. She says... And she even calls you E, which is funny. She says, why is he having his party on Wednesday night? I mean, no, she knew it was a Halloween party.
Right.
She's like, why is he having his party on Wednesday night? I said, well, and we had the whole conversation. You can't really have it after. He was out of town before. And I said, plus, he's kind of an engineer geek, and he's very specific, so it has to be on Halloween.
It's a Halloween party.
Right. So it was on Wednesday. But come on. Who has – WTF. Who has a party on Wednesday night?
I didn't seem to have a problem having a party and getting to work on time the next day.
Yeah, some people did, though.
Some people who might be listening who work for me
right.
and were drawn on by girls with makeup
right.
weren't quite at work on time.
So it looked like a good party, but you had called me at home, and I saw your caller ID, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, you knew what I was like, before you picked up the phone.
And I pick up the phone, and all I hear is, party. Now, right. Did you have your headset or something connected?
My Bluetooth headset didn't pick up.
Right, so you're talking into the phone and the Bluetooth headset's like are on the other side or something.
Yeah, so I ditched that. Actually, Sarah had to help me with this because I couldn't reach my ear.
Right.
So you heard was, can you take the headset off my ear, please?
That's what that was.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you're like, why don't you come here? I'm like, look, I'm not coming out because it was like 9:30, I think is when
it
was, called.
Yeah, something like
9:30
that.
9:30 or 10. And
we were just getting going.
I was playing the Simpsons game, which we're going to talk about later, which is pretty funny. And I was just like, dude, I'm not going. I would love to go. So, yeah,
if you would have loved to go, you would have been there.
But I didn't.
Right.
So I will accept any and all lashings. I mean, Sarah was giving me, some guilt complex, wow, wow, wow. So yeah. I'm sorry.
We passed the phone around.
Who else
people
was
make
there
funny
that
you.
People would know? I mean, Trixie would.
Trixie was there. KP was there in a phenomenal costume.
Yes, I heard.
So what you've seen the pictures?
Yeah, I have seen the pictures. He dressed as me.
Yes, it was quite well done, I'd say.
So I never wear a tie though.
I gave him some of my old E3 badges to wear to add authenticity.
Okay.
I thought that really helped.
Okay,
so Yeah, it was very well done.
Yeah.
So,
when's the next party?
Let's see. Other people, they'd know who was there. Brooklyn and Mischief from the Frag Dolls were
right.
there.
So you had some you had some people from Bungie. We don't want to give their names. Some Bungie folks were there.
There were Bungie folks there. Let's see. Who else was there? A whole bunch of people from work, actually.
Did anybody show up that you didn't know who they were?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of pictures on my Facebook that aren't tagged because I'm trying to remember. I remember their nickname or something about them. But
their gamer tag.
It's like, who is this person?
Who is this
person? I'm waiting for someone to tell me so I can tag those pictures properly. So there's always I don't think there was anyone like PAX where there was our friend Jason from Insomniac.
Yep.
Who I was like, who is
James.
This guy?
James.
Thank you. Sorry, James. But there was, so nothing quite like that happened, but there were a few people where it's like, but
I was on his podcast this past week. It went up on Wednesday.
I have not listened to that yet.
Whoa,
I need
again with the recorder.
Will you stop doing that?
You know,
that's 2 weeks
in a row.
I'm
going to leave it on the ground. Let's just leave it on the ground.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So great party. We need to talk about some games. Actually, you know what? I get emails and people are angry at me because I cut you off because I like to keep the conversation moving.
So people want to hear me ramble more?
Yeah. In fact, somebody emailed me. Gave me a message over live. They want to get rid of me and just tell me. I'm unsubscribing. What was the message? I'm unsubscribing from your show. Let me know when E has his own podcast.
Okay. Well, that will be never.
That will be never. Because let me tell you what we do over here. I have it set up where all E has to do is come in and sit down, and I hand him a microphone. That's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything else.
I don't have to do any prep work.
He doesn't edit the show.
I do no post production.
Nothing.
I do literally. I have to take an hour out for to come record, and the rest of the time I can go do actual, the work I'm supposed to be doing
or other stuff.
Yeah.
So or party planning.
Party planning.
So for those of you who that want to unsubscribe and waiting for E to get his own podcast, unfortunately,
it's not going to happen. Sorry.
It's not going to happen. You're stuck with me. I want to get back to games. So that came out this week, we had Viva Pinata Party Animals.
Yes.
Have you played that?
I have not. I need to. And
I played that with my wife and I think I got like 60 or 80 gamer score in the first round.
I will probably play some this weekend because we're going to take a console with us when we go out of town.
Right.
But I haven't had the time.
So that, and I did get some emails and some messages over live. People think that this true story.
Okay.
I should probably pull this message up.
Where's the controller?
Here, it's over here. Maybe it's in my inbox, but it was basically asking me if, hey, they saw that I was playing Viva Pinata Party Animals and, was there going to be, is there a garden like in Viva Pinata?
For the map, is like the map a garden, in other words? Or?
Could you basically cultivate a garden? So I don't know.
Why would you be able to do that in Party Animals?
So people misunderstood. So Viva Pinata Party Animals, how would you describe it? what does that say?
Someone who I know is asking you if you program, and no, he doesn't. Keep going.
I wanted to ask you, how would you describe Viva? It's probably not in there. What's his real name? Are you looking at my messages?
We've answered
now?
That. Yeah, I'm looking for the one you...
It may be in my inbox. It may be at major@xbox.com, so it's not that one because that one hasn't been read.
Okay.
So how would you describe Viva Pinata Party Animals?
We need to just go through these here later. Viva Pinata Party Animals is a minigame game similar to, Fusion Frenzy or Mario Party or WarioWare. There's a bunch of little short games, and the results of all of those are what determines the outcome of the
game. So each round is a different game. Wife and I played it the other night. We did the burping game, the running game.
And each of them is what, like 30, 60 seconds long?
Yeah, 60 seconds.
You move on to the next one.
She had a fun time. She really liked it. So
Here's one. Think of it as like, picture a board game like Monopoly or Life or something like that, where every time you land on a square, you play a little 60-second arcade game.
But there's no board game and there's no dice.
Right. But other than that.
So it's a board game and without
a board.
So if you want to find out more details, listen to my last week's show where I had some folks on from Chrome. Now
oops.
You're dropping things.
Oops. Can you drop what I just dropped?
No.
Sorry, people.
So I had somebody on from Chrome and we talked about Viva Pinata Party Animals. Another game that came out this week is The Simpsons.
Yes. Press start.
It's called the easiest achievement ever.
And I think that's accurate.
For pressing start.
Yes.
It has said in the tone and tenor of Comic Book Guy, easiest achievement ever.
Yeah. And it's only 5 gamer score. Not a bad use of 5 gamer score.
So I will I'm going to play a little bit of that this weekend.
What one thing we should point out there? Okay, it was funny the first time a game did it. Yeah, a whole bunch of games shouldn't start adding achievements for pressing start.
Yeah, I think the Simpsons can get away with it because of Comic Book Guy and whatnot.
And it's funny because no one had ever done it before. Ha, 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 that's right. Cute. If everyone
EA kind of did it in some of their other games.
Ouch.
Kind of, right?
Oh.
But
Peter Moore is wondering if you can take the knife out of his back right
no,
now.
No, what? It's just there's creative use there. There's also some... In the game, there's some, and this isn't a spoiler, but they do these.
Are you sure?
They keep track of, what's the word I'm looking for? Gosh, I'm totally blanking out now. But you need.
I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, you need to play the game because there's all these. There's a lot of comedy. It's very well written.
Did Matt Groening actually participate? Do we know?
It sounds like it because it's all the voice actors. Because that's what you tend to end when you get a game that's based on a movie or a TV show. Sometimes the voice actors won't sign up for it or they don't. But they sounds like they got the whole cast.
That's cool.
Yes. Okay. So it really adds, and it's in HD. So Simpsons in HD, it's really mind blowing.
Okay. And weren't there a couple other games that hit this week too? Did you have that list up?
I can find the list,
Didn't Time Shift just...
Time Shift should be... And I also did a show on that list last week, so you should go ahead.
It was a busy week.
It was indeed a busy week. Let's go up here to check our local... So the list,
our local website?
Oh, of course, Orange Box is still out, but you're not allowed to talk about that ever again.
Yeah. Fun game, though.
Yeah, so we've got Party Animals, Time Shift is out, Virtua Fighter 5 shipped... the Simpsons movie, B-movie, I need to take a look at that. Naruto shipped. Cars shipped. Boy, it was a big week.
Yeah, wow. And out of all those so far, I've managed to find the time to play Guitar Hero 3.
3. I've done 3. I need to put in the B-movie. Do I have the B-movie? I think I have it someplace.
You should.
I should have. So do you want to, why don't we go ahead and we'll kick into the interviews right now.
Cool.
Do you want to do that right now?
Who's
and then we actually have some cool stuff to talk about after because we are going to hear about you. When you bought your PS3.
Yes.
He has bought a PS3, and we're going to talk about that experience. Now. But right now, we've got some great interviews to talk about COD4 and Portal. Call of Duty 4 is in stores this week, and on the line with me today is Todd Alderman, who's the multiplayer lead designer at Infinity Ward. Todd, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
You are, COD4 was a huge beta. You know, it was one of the other huge betas that we had this year on Xbox Live. And I want to talk to you about what went into designing the designing COD 4 from a multiplayer perspective. Tell me what some of the folks can expect, basically some of the differences from maybe the beta to what you guys are shipping with.
Sure. Well, right from the beginning, we were working on multiplayer, and that's not something that a lot of companies actually do. I mean, a lot of times it's actually tacked on at the end. And we wanted to make like a really awesome multiplayer game right from the beginning of the project. So we treated it as its own game. So we started off, we wanted to make the game fun, deep, accessible, and have a lot of community involved. So we started the game and just wanted to make sure it was the best possible thing. Differences from the full game and the beta, there's a lot of stuff people haven't seen yet. So in the beta, we had 4 game types. In the final game, there's a lot more. You've got new standard game types like Headquarters and Sabotage, and we've also got these game rule sets that we put on top of these things, like Hardcore Mode. And in Hardcore Mode, we get rid of your HUD, we make bullets do extra damage, friendly fire's turned on, and it's a lot more realistic, crazy, intense gameplay. And we also have Old School Mode, which is another playlist that's going to be on there, and it's kind of the opposite of Hardcore, where there are no classes. There are weapon and perk pickups in the map. Everyone's got double health, can jump really high, and ragdolls off the chart.
So
there's just a lot of different options of what people can choose to play.
You've got really, like you say, from the hardcore all the way down to beginners. But I want to back up a little bit because COD2 is a huge title that you guys worked on that launched the Xbox 360. It was one of the great launch titles that we had. COD3, which you guys didn't work on, of course, was out last year. Now COD4 is here. When you say you wanted to make it a great multiplayer experience, what does that mean to you? Because obviously everybody listening right now has their own definition of what a great experience is. But tell me some of the tenets that you were marching towards as you were designing this.
Sure. One of the biggest things we wanted to do was we wanted the game to have legs and be really deep. We didn't want it to just feel like a game that you just jump on, play for 5 minutes, and you've experienced everything. We wanted you to be invested in the game, and we want to have fun while you do it. So we've got, you know, we got the fun core game mechanics down, but now we've got unlockables and tons of different modes you can play, and the party system and private matches and just crazy number of options to for you to tweak your guy out and play the game that you want to play and be able to show off, you know, how cool you are. It's just, there's just a lot of substance and not just something that's just, you know, just a 5 minute run.
Yeah, you're just kind of running and gunning. You talked about the party system. That's something that a lot of people have been looking for. Obviously, Halo 2 had it, Halo 3 has it, and COD4 has it. Was that an easy decision for you to make? Because we know that it's kind of difficult to do on the back end for you guys as developers, right?
Yeah, it's tricky to do, but it's something that it really helps to. I mean, it really makes the game more community friendly. I think it's. We try to automate a lot of things in our game. So when you go matchmaking, we want to make it as simple and fast as possible. We don't want you to have to wait for guys to ready up. We want you to keep playing for a long time. So what you do when you play our game is you can have your friends jump in, you can do a private match, or you can go matchmake, hop into a game, maybe even skip the lobby and join a game in progress if there's slots open, and you're playing right away. And then after the match, you're playing with the same people. So if you like the people you're playing with, you can just keep playing all night long, or you can hop out with your party, jump into another game, and it's all your choice, and you're going to have the best experience you can.
I was taking a look, and I saw that COD4 is available on a ton of different platforms. It's on Xbox 360, of course. It's on the PS3. It's on Nintendo. It's on the PC. How do you normalize and rationalize the multiplayer experience across those four platforms? And clearly, like, does the DS, is there wireless multiplayer there?
The DS, I'm actually not sure, since we didn't develop the DS. We just did the PS3, 360, and PC.
Got it. So let's stick to this. So are those versions fairly similar?
Yeah, they're fairly similar. PS3 and 360 are more similar than the PC version. For PS3 versus 360, it's the main difference is what the 360 will give you, which is the dashboard and the built-in the systems are already kind of built in.
Right.
So for PS3, we kind of had to build our own. So we have to build our own matchmaking system. We have to build our own friends list and things like that. But game-wise, it's virtually the same. So for PC, though, you don't have a party system. You've got a server browser instead. And for PC, there's a lot more of... servers like to decide what people are going to play,
mm-hmm.
So there's options for that as well. The core gameplay, it's, you know, the basic difference is controls, but that's something we spent a lot of time making sure was really good on the console. So you're going to get pretty much the same game versus those three, but, you know, it's just your preference of, you know, what console or PC you like to play on.
What platform you're looking for. We talked a little bit early on about the beta that you guys had that you ran during the summer. What kind of learnings, you know, obviously as the multiplayer designer, the lead designer there, you probably were looking at gobs and gobs of data and input from the community and from the servers. What are some of the things that you learned at a very high level that kind of surprised you?
That's a good question. One of the biggest surprises that we got from the beta was how fast and how good people got. I mean, right off the bat, we've been playing this game basically for 2 years. And in the beta, in a week, there were people that we were scared of.
Right.
And it's just people pick up on it so fast and get so good, and just they understand the system, they understand how it works, and they put their time in and they play really well. And I mean, there were even bugs that we had missed. And in the beta, after a day after releasing the beta, people find these bugs and we're like, wow, that was really hard to find. I'm glad we have these people out there to find this for us.
So you would say that overall the beta was pretty successful?
Yeah, overall the beta was great. I mean, we got great feedback, lots of good comments. It was a good experience.
Yeah, because people don't understand that betas are actually really challenging because you guys have to fork your code and go build a special build of the game and get it out there and maintain the servers and so forth. So it's not an easy thing. It was not a light decision that you guys chose to make and have a beta.
Yeah, there's a lot of time and preparation that goes into it. I mean, by the time the beta is out, we're already like a month ahead on our end. So there's stuff in the beta that people are like, well, you know, maybe the host wasn't so great and it was kind of laggy. Well, we'd already fixed that on our end, and we had better, you know, matchmaking, better server selection. So there's a lot of it's kind of delayed, but in the core mechanics and the core gameplay is there.
I usually ask this of everyone, but I need to ask you, Todd, what's your gamer tag?
What's my gamer tag?
Do you want to give that out?
Sure. It's Stagger. S-T-A-G-G-A-R.
A-R, great. Well, you'll probably get some invites from there. I want to talk about some of the
events
we have coming up on Xbox Live. Specifically, it's the Xbox Live Fire Weekend. Can you tell me about what that's all about?
The Xbox Weekend, yeah. Coming up, we're going to have, is it 2 weeks from now, I think? We're going to be doing a COD 4 weekend, so we're going to be giving out prizes. On Friday night, you're going to be able to play with the developers.
Yeah, so that's Friday night.
So I'll be on there.
November 11th, for those of you listening to this, maybe sometime in the future. November 11th is when the weekend kicks off.
Yeah, we're going to be playing. A lot of guys from here are going to play. I'm going to be playing. We're going to have some lead artists. A lot of the designers are going to be playing you on the maps that they designed. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the next day, we're going to have the PMS Clan's going to be on. We'll have some different challenges, just playing COD 4 all day, basically, and we're giving out prizes. I think the grand prize is a 360 Elite with the COD faceplate.
Nice.
So it's cool stuff. It's going to be a lot of good times.
And then Sunday, you've got a leaderboard contest, if I remember correctly. So you guys obviously are going to have full leaderboards on this thing, and you'll be able to give away, according to what I have here, limited edition faceplate shirts and all sorts of COD material. People can check it out at charlieoscardelta.com. I'll put a link up on the blog and also over to on xbox.com and some more information. Todd, I want to step back a little bit and talk to you. We've been talking about kind of getting into the game and playing the game. What kind of map design can we expect in COD 4?
Ah, that's a good question. Well, one thing that we did is we made sure to... We've got 16 maps that are going to be available at launch.
Okay.
And we wanted a wide variety. We wanted medium-sized maps that are good for team games. We wanted really big games for big matches. We have a playlist that has 18 players, so there's some bigger maps on that. We even have a playlist called Cage Match, and it's a one-on-one playlist, and you're playing old school. So you're playing, you know, with no classes, weapon pickups, and perk pickups. Mm-hmm. And there's an arena map in there that's, you know, the size is for two people. So there's a huge variety of different maps you can play on, and a lot of maps that are, you know, custom made for certain game types. We have the cargo ship map. You know, it plays really well on Sabotage, so we can swap those out at any time, and it's just a huge variety of different things to play on.
The you know, obviously one of the big shooters out right now, or the big shooters, Halo 3. How does this compare to Halo 3, and how do you look at COD 4 versus a Halo 3 in terms of the gameplay experience?
I don't really compare them. It's COD 4. It's its own thing.
Right.
We tried to provide enough game times and enough ways to play the game to customize your character to. You know, we have leaderboards and party systems. We want you to play the game that you want, and you'll be able to find it there. And whatever you like, if you like one-on-one matches, if you like big 18-player games, if you like hardcore, no HUD, bullets doing a lot of damage, I mean, it's the game for you.
This has got to be pretty exciting for you because you said you're working on this for 2 years. You had the beta a few months ago. You've taken that feedback and baked it in, hopefully most of it, to the final product, which ships this week. You know, Infinity Ward with Robert Bowling, you guys have a huge community, so you must be pretty excited to start getting some of that feedback from the community and seeing how they're gonna use your game.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to see what happens. It's gonna be really interesting. I'm looking forward to see how fast people level up, what kind of builds they use. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
It definitely is. Well, Todd Alderman, you're the multiplayer lead designer at Infinity Ward. Call of Duty 4 out this week, Xbox 360, PS3, and PC, also on Nintendo DS, even though you didn't work on that, so I'll give them a shout-out. Listen, Todd, I want to thank so much. I will see you online, especially during the Xbox Live Fire Weekend, which is coming up November 11th. Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks a lot for having me.
Portal is one of the hottest games in the Orange Box. Well, actually, they're all hot games in the Orange Box. And I have on the line with me Kim Swift, who's one of the level designers for Portal. Kim, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure, no problem.
So, Kim, you're one of the level designers, but you actually have been with this. You came from DigiPen, correct?
Yep. I was with the original team members from Narbacular Drop that came to Valve after we graduated.
So that's kind of a Cinderella story, isn't it? You guys were working on a cool game over at DigiPen, which is a... I'll let you tell the story. Why don't you give me some of the backstory on Portal?
Sure thing. So all of the members of the Portal team were seniors at DigiPen Institute of Technology, which is a college over in Redmond that specializes in game development. So every year we're supposed to create a game from scratch as one of our projects, and we created a game called Narbacular Drop, and it's basically the predecessor to Portal. And if you played Narbacular Drop, it's got the same concept where you've got, two interlinked portals. You go in one, you come out the other. And every year, DigiPen holds an expo for graduating seniors where they allow them to show off their projects to various game developers across the country. And a couple people from Valve came by and took a look and thought it was a pretty neat concept, so they invited us to come to Valve and demo the game for Gabe Newell, of all people, and we, of course, jumped on it and said, of course, we'll demo it, and after about 15 minutes through our presentation, Gabe stops us and asks us what we're going to do after we graduate, and offers us a job on the spot to come in and make Portal. So,
how often does that happen in the gaming industry, right?
Yeah. We thought he was kidding at first. We're like, no, you can't. Are you sure? But no, he was serious, and we of course accepted, and we were just so blown away.
And the rest is history, I guess.
Yep, the rest is history.
So without giving away too many spoilers, because I don't want to do that. But the levels are quite intricate. But let's talk about some of the gameplay. What are some things that you brought over from the original version of the game to Portal, and then what are some of the things that are a little bit different?
So, as I said before, in Narbacular Drop, we had the general concept where you've got two portals, and you look in one, you can see out the other, you go in one, you go out the other. And the portals are pretty similar between the two games, and the stuff that you're able to do with them are pretty much exactly the same, with the exception in Narbacular Drop is to place a portal through another portal, which actually broke a lot of puzzles and made things a little bit, too easy for our own good. So we took that out just because we thought that it wasn't really well balanced for Portal. So, but as far as new things in Portal, it just the atmosphere is a lot different. Of course, we're using the Source engine as opposed to Narbacular Drop, where we created our own engine based around the idea that we were going to have portals. The physics is a lot better, I got to say, because we're using Valve's Source engine, which is based on the Havoc physics engine. So after quite a lot of work to get it to function properly, it's really nice to see that all the physics is working the way you would assume it would if portals actually existed in real life.
So it's from the original to this one, there's I guess I could say this. I mean, there's 19 levels in this one in the what shipped in Portal. How many levels did you have in the original version?
Pretty much, I think we had like 4 or 5. When we created Narbacular Drop, we had in mind that we wanted the game to be playable pretty much from start to finish in about 15 minutes, because we figured anyone that would play the game, that would demo it, at a trade show or, at the DigiPen campus, would only have about 15 minutes at the most to devote on the game, and actually, you can get the general concept of what's going on within 5 minutes and have a good idea of what we intended for the game.
One of the things that people will notice as they start playing it, and again, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but the levels and the atmosphere start to take on a personality. And when you were designing the levels, you know, the extra levels or what came to be the final levels in the game, did you think about that and, you know, how you would interact with the computer and how the levels and then, of course, the boss battle?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much from the beginning that we knew we wanted to have this sort of, you know, turning point in the game. And we weren't sure at the time if we would be able to put it in, but it was something that was dwelling in the back of our mind pretty much during the entire development. And within the last year or so, we saw that we had enough time to put all of those levels in. So we worked really hard and got them in the game. So we're really pleased about it. And you know, it's really hard to talk about this because I don't want to give away any spoilers either.
Yeah, no, it's tough to kind of do that, as always with a video game. Now, what can we expect moving forward? I mean, people are already clamoring for either downloadable levels or Portal 2. Can you give us a little hint of what we can expect?
No, I mean, we're still deciding what we want to do. We know that we want more Portal something, but we're still not quite sure just what we want yet in terms of whether or not we want to do multiplayer or Portal 2 or just more map packs for a little while. We have a few ideas that we want to try, but nothing we're ready to announce just yet.
You know, the concept of Portal is so simple, and that's often what makes a great game. Have you ever considered playing around with maybe having, you know, maybe two entry and exits or two portals as opposed to an entry and exit like it exists today? Have you played around with the dynamic in your head?
Well, we actually implemented something like that where you can create multiple pairs of portals just to see what it was like.
Right.
But we haven't really sort of delved into what the gameplay ramifications of that is, just sort of played around with it in passing.
Yeah, it kind of is a mind bender when I was playing it and the people were watching. It's like, wait a minute, up is down and down is now up, and you have to hurl yourself through these exit holes, which is really a lot of in many of the puzzles. That's how you need to solve them. So it's really a bit of a challenge. Have you been surprised by the reception on the game?
Oh yes, I mean, we knew people would like the game, okay, but we weren't expecting how much people would like it. And I think part of what really helped us a lot was being in the orange box. I mean, I'm not sure if Portal would necessarily be the greatest game on its own because it is pretty short and it's doing something new, and we weren't really sure, you know, if people were going to like it. But, you know, with it being in the orange box, we're getting the game out to a lot more people, and they get to see what we've, you know, had up our sleeves for the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's definitely a new type and twist of a game. Where do you go from here? I mean, how do you top Portal?
Oh, I don't know. I guess pretty much my team and I have been from, you know, taking the stand that, yeah, well, maybe we can't, you know, top Portal, but at, you know, we're sure going to try and have a good time trying to develop what's next. I think one of the things that made Portal really successful is that, you know, we had a really good time creating the game and had a lot of good laughs. And I think that comes through when you play the game.
Yeah, and also it does, to your point a little bit earlier, it fits so nicely into the orange box in terms of the gun is very similar to, like, the gravity gun in Half-Life. And there's some of the turrets, and there's a lot of the elements that are in Portal that are real nods to Half-Life, and that really helps it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, well, listen, I'm going to let you go, Kim. I appreciate your time today, and we're looking, you know, as a big fan of Portal, as I know a lot of my listeners are, I appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for giving us such a great mind-bending of a game, and we look forward to seeing what you guys cook up next.
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoy it.
All right, so Portal, hopefully you didn't get – there were no spoilers in there.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's how you do a spoiler-free interview.
Thank you.
Co.
I've gotten this far without spoilers, so
yeah.
One semi-spoiler. You know,
or you got to put the big warning, you know, spoiler. You have to post it in all white and then have it black like they do on the forums, so you have to highlight it.
How do you do that in a podcast?
I don't know.
Okay.
We just have to silence the beep.
Okay.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and do Name the Game right now? Because after that, we're going to talk about some gadgets. So here's Name the Game from last week. All right, Name the Game was...
Beautiful Katamari.
Beautiful Katamari. Excellent E. Did you play that? You haven't played that, have you?
I have played a little of it. I've not gotten far. I was like mucking around on the first level. That was about it.
So congratulations to Xbox Live Gamertag Cat5 Abe. That's what it says. I don't know how it's spelled. I have to take a look at the email. Congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force One X1 headset. And then we have another name in the game, which we're actually going to do things a little differently this week.
Okay.
We are going to give away a copy of Transformers on HD DVD.
Okay.
And Gears of War for PC.
For Name the Game?
For Name the Game.
Giving them away for other things.
For Name the Game.
I'm not doing our usual trivia thing or...
No, we can do that too, but we got some other copies. But I want to mix it up this week for Name the Game.
Okay.
So Name the Game for this week is... All right, if you think you know what that is a sound clip from an Xbox 360 game, not an original Xbox game,
right?
An Xbox 360 game. If you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com, major@xbox.com, name the game, colon, and your gamer tag, and then put where you're from in the body and send it on away.
So for answering that one correctly, they're getting both Gears PC and Transformers in HD?
Absolutely.
Okay, two for one. Nice.
Yeah, why not? So it's
just making sure I understand.
I'm going to make it a little harder this week. So good luck to that. Good luck to everybody there, wherever you are. And you know, you don't have to be any member of any particular country or religion to win this game. You can pretty much, as long as you can hear my voice anywhere on the planet. By the way, I did put a call out. I wanted some listeners in Russia. I haven't gotten any yet. Apparently, I don't have any show listeners in Russia.
We're not big there. Wow,
well, Xbox is, but not us. So,
I mean, I'm part Russian in some small fashion.
What?
So I'm
so, so well, as am I.
I'm like one
really
eighth Russian.
We should talk about
1/16, something like
so
that.
So if you think you know what that name of the game is, major@xbox.com. That's where you're going to send an email, and good luck to that. We've got some gadgets coming up. E, you have some interesting gadgets.
It's been a very gadget heavy week for me.
Good.
So like we talked about last week, I've been toying with the idea of a PS3 at home for a while, in addition to having one at work to play with.
Good Blu-ray player.
And I finally decided, okay, you know, it's time. I'd been thinking that if I was going to do it, maybe I should get one of the 60 gig ones with the full hardware PS2 compatibility before they're gone.
Right.
So on the way back from the Oregon game last week, I stopped off at Fry's. They had three PS3 60 gigs left. Picked one up.
Grabbed one.
Along with a couple of movies, picked up Underworld and Underworld Evolution.
Right.
So people actually, I ordered those from Amazon when I got back.
On HD DVD or Blu-ray?
On Blu-ray.
But we did get emails saying they're available on HD DVD.
They're available on HD DVD outside of the United States. In the U.S., they're Blu-ray only. So I could have imported them. But I'm kind of a sucker for one click from Amazon.
Yeah, you are. You are.
And I wanted, it's bad. And I wanted to have a couple of Blu-ray movies to
showcase,
see how it looked.
Right.
And I like those movies.
Did you get Casino Royale? Because that's the only movies you really have.
No, all I got was the two Underworld movies.
Okay.
So, for now at least. So picked those up, brought it home, didn't get around to hooking it up until, I think it was Tuesday night.
A lot of things you haven't gotten around to. I want to list those things off in a minute, but go ahead.
No, I haven't built my Windows home server.
Or you haven't finished Bioshock.
Okay, so we're talking about PS3 now. So Tuesday night, I'm hooking it up. Should be no big deal. I ordered another 15-foot HDMI cable,
right?
So, which is great. Order it from a place here in Seattle where they make them. I get them the next day. It's awesome. So I get my cable. Okay, great. I'm going to set this thing up. It turned out to be a lot more complicated than I thought.
Why? You just plug it in and you tell it HDMI. What's the problem?
No, we're not even to that part of the story yet.
Oh.
So I take it all out of the box. I put the PS3 on the shelf. I get behind my audio cabinet and I'm about to start plugging things in. And this would be the point at which my girlfriend flips out, because I'm not a particularly neat person when it comes to cabling.
Right.
And she likes all the cables to be very neat and, you know, routed through the channel that the cables are supposed to go through.
So she can do that.
And wound and tied. And yeah. So I'm about to set this thing up, at which point she tells me.
Yeah, because she's really neat.
She is when it comes to this kind of stuff. So she tells me, get out of the way. I'm gonna cable that because you're not going to do it right.
Oh, boy.
So I'm like, okay, sure. Next thing I know, not only is the AV stuff undone, and she accidentally unplugged a few of my speakers while she was at it.
She completely decommissioned your system?
The cable modem is unplugged, and so are a couple of my 360s and one of the televisions and my router and my Vonage, and she's rearranging everything.
So it's complete chaos.
Complete chaos.
Oh, no.
So a half hour later, everything's put back together. It's all working. Things are in slightly different places, but the cable runs have been optimized and there's less clutter. And, you know, I'm like, okay, thank you. I never would have noticed. But so now I'm at the point where the PS3 is there. It's ready. I run the HDMI cable to the TV. I plug that in. Done.
Right. Simple.
Run the optical cable from the PS3 to my receiver.
Done.
Done. I'm all set.
Fire it up.
Turn it on. On my television, is the screen not supported?
What's not supported?
Yeah. So
Now, let's back up. This is your Samsung high-end LED TV that's like the best thing ever.
It's like, yeah, it's only a it's new model this year.
Right.
HDMI 1.3.
Right.
Everything should work with it. It's got two other HDMI devices on it. It has a 360 Elite.
Right.
And it has a several-year-old DirecTiVo HD, both of which work flawlessly over HDMI. No configuration. I just plugged them in and they worked.
So what happened?
So it's not that simple. So it's like, wait a minute, not supported. What's going on? First thing that ran through my mind, this is a really old PS3 because it's one of the launch boxes. It's a 60 gig unit.
Right.
It's probably got a really old firmware on it. I bet there's some, you know, they fixed some, you know, HDMI, HDCP syncing thing. I should update the firmware before I really expect this to work. So I grab the composite cable. I hook it up that way so I can see what's going on. I connect it to the internet, and I get the firmware update, which, by the way, is really big and took a really long time. And then once it downloaded it, it had to install it, which
uncompress
really
and install
time.
It, right?
So, but we get that. I found something else to do for 15 minutes and came back, and it was done. Interesting people walking by. Having windows on the ground floor. That's,
I know.
Yeah. Anyways, get the firmware update. So I'm up to 1.93 and I'm like, okay, now it's going to work. Unplug the composite cable, turn the console off, back on, not supported.
Still same message.
Yeah. I'm like, what? So what do I do next? Okay. Time to go to your friendly neighborhood search engine.
ABS forms, it's, baby.
Well, I didn't even bother going there. I went straight to, I used Google this time. I bounced back and forth between Google and Live Search. And I plugged in, you know, PS3, Samsung,
right.
HDMI not supported.
Where does it lead you?
Tons of posts, including AVS Forum, of course.
Uh-oh.
So I take a look. Apparently a bunch of other people are having the same problem.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, what? So I start experimenting with different combinations of things. Like, what if I turn the TV on before the PS3?
Right, so it has to do a handshake for HDCP.
Right. What if I turn the PS3 on first? What if I, you know, what if I let the PS3 sit there for a certain amount of time?
Right. What if you close your windows in your house and open your garage door?
So I spent 2 hours.
2 hours?
2 hours. And during this two-hour period, at various points, I'm not only ranting to the people in the room, but I'm IMing you.
Right, yeah, you were pretty pissed.
I'm IMing KP. I am really getting angry about this. And then I stumbled across the magic sequence. Turn the TV on.
Yes.
But not to the HDMI input the PS3 is connected to. Turn the PS3 on. Hold the power button down. When it beeps saying I'm turning on, don't let go of the power button. Hold it for another few seconds until it beeps for a second time. Then wait a few seconds. Go to the television. Switch the input to the one that the PS3 is on with HDMI. When I did that exact sequence, I got a screen saying, over HDMI, that was the only connection there, saying, we have detected an HDMI input. Would you like to use this for audio and video? I said, yes.
But you don't want audio.
That's coming.
Okay.
So that the only options were yes and no. And
right,
it was
okay.
Like, it says it's going to work. Okay,
right.
I'm going to
take it. Right.
And then there was another screen. I don't remember exactly what it said. Something about auto detection. Basically, it talks to the TV, gets the EDID data, figures out what's the native resolution of the TV. Boom, it's in 1080p. All is good. So 2 hours later, I'm like, oh, hallelujah. Finally, it's working.
Why is that so hard?
I don't have any idea. It was immensely frustrating, but it's working now.
Okay.
So I tested a couple times. I turned the PS3 on and off. I turned the TV on and off without paying any attention to order or anything. And now that it's configured properly, it seems to be working.
But it was that initial installation that you had to do it in specific order.
Exactly. That was a nightmare. Once I stumbled across that, and it was something I read in some forum on the internet that had me, they didn't lay out the specific steps, but it had like some pieces of
it. And let's be clear, at one point when you were talking about IAM, I think you actually wrapped it in a towel.
No, not quite. Okay. I did say I was going to return the stupid thing.
Right, you did say
because
that.
Because I was not going to accept the fact that my shiny new TV
right.
that works with everything else was at fault here.
Right.
But got it working. So I'm like, okay, yes, it's working now. I'm going to drop in Underworld and see what this baby looks like. Drop in Underworld. It loads. No audio. I'm like, what? So I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, oh, I bet on the receiver I need to map the digital audio to the right video input. And so I look for the receiver remote, which I never use because I have a universal remote. Find that. I cable the receiver to the TV so I can get the on-screen display. I do all the setup. I map the input properly. No audio.
What?
So I fiddle with it for a little while. I go back to the XMB, their equivalent of the dashboard, and I muck around in the settings for a while. Oh, wait a minute. When you turn on HDMI, it said audio and video.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it to send audio out the optical, you have to go specifically say, send audio out the optical. Once I did that, boom.
Okay, so now you're working.
I'm now all set. I'm up and running. And so far, all I've done is watch two movies on it. I haven't even played either of the games I have yet. But it's a fine high-def movie player.
Yeah.
Underworld and Underworld Evolution looked and sounded good. Good movies.
So you – that must have been frustrating.
It was – I was massively frustrated.
Does yours
– I haven't had that problem.
The one I have here in the office loses – basically it loses sync with the TV when you shut it off or turn it on. Or I'm sorry, when you're going in and out of a game.
I read about that in a bunch of the forums I was looking at trying to figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen for me. So I don't know if it's because I have a newer TV or my TV is HDMI 1.3 or if
confusing.
I'm just lucky, but that I don't have problems with. So it's working now.
Let's keep it that way.
It was that was one of the more frustrating installation experiences I've had.
So let's go to your segment. You want to do your segment now? Xbox 101?
My segment?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what is my segment? But yeah, sure.
Xbox 101. This time with E and Major Nelson.
All right, yeah. So this week we're actually kind of going to do a two-for-one thing.
It's a twofer.
Yep. You're giving away two things for Name the Game,
mm-hmm.
So it's appropriate that we kind of cover two things.
And I had two interviews.
Whoa.
Whoa.
There's like some serious duality going on here, dude.
And there's two of us. There's one of you and one of me.
Whoa. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go have a drink now. Okay, so the theme for Xbox 101 today is the Xbox Live Vision Camera.
Which I had the chance to use this week. I was supposed to go to Madrid. They were doing a blogging event in Madrid with some Xbox bloggers, and I couldn't make it. So we did a teleconference one day during the middle of the day with the Vision Camera. So I fielded questions from them. It was kind of cool.
Did it go better than the time you were at Leipzig? And
oh, it was much better than that.
Okay, good.
It was much better than that. Yeah.
So first thing to mention is the fact that when you plug the Vision Camera in, you actually get some effects. It's not just something you can use for pictures and video.
You can feel free to do that, but...
So one of the effects is, depending on your point of view, either kind of freaky or kind of cool.
Where do you fall on that?
I think it's kind of cool.
So do I.
I only know one or two people that think it's weird, but, you know, different tastes. So basically what it does is when you're in the dashboard, you get this cool kind of wavy water effect.
In fact, I believe it's called water. Watery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The camera image is overlaid on the dashboard. And as things move around
right.
in the field of vision of the camera, they're reflected in the waves on the dashboard.
It turns into the back of your dashboard, kind of sits behind the theme and it turns it into like a pool of water.
Yeah, there you go.
So
description. So you can control these effects. You can actually turn it off or adjust them a little bit.
Right.
So it's in go into the guide and go to personal settings, I think it is.
Yep.
And under personal settings, go to themes. And it'll pop up a little thing and say, please wait, which we're doing. What did you do to it, Major?
Nothing.
You broke it. And then you can select a theme, or if you click customize, you can go in and there's three options: dashboard trim, guide background, and camera effect. And go into camera effect, you have the choice of none, edgy, watery, or dotty. Now, when you plug the camera in, the default becomes watery. while the camera's in, correct?
Right.
And that's this look and feel, is pretty cool. First time I saw it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. It was the first time when we plugged in our...
Is that one of the Asian Blue controllers?
Yeah, this is one of the Asian Blue controllers I got.
That's kind of cool. So for people who don't know, there's the Blue controller, but the Blue controller in Asia is a different shade than the Blue controller in the rest of the world.
Right.
It's kind of a sky blue.
Yeah, it's kind of a sky blue, whatever you want to call it.
That's not part of Xbox 101. That's just a little freebie we're throwing in because
we got completely distracted. So there's edgy, watery, and dotty. Those are the three options.
Yes. So
and when you choose them, by the way, when you choose them, you can actually preview them on the right-hand side there.
Oh, yes, you can. That's
kind of
cool.
So live preview. So that's the Xbox 101.
So that's half the Xbox 101.
What's the other half, E?
So the other half is if you go into your profile and you go down to Edit Gamer Profile.
Yes.
And you go to Privacy Settings. We added, I don't remember how long ago, 6 months or a year ago, a setting specific to video that not everybody knows we have. So the second privacy setting option
is called video.
Is amazing. And what this controls is who you're going to see video from. So it's the receiving of video in, for instance, you know, Uno, Bomberman, any game that has camera support. And you have the option to set this to everyone.
So I can see everyone's video.
Right. Friends only or blocked.
Okay.
And friends only is kind of a nice setting because you're not going to see anything from strangers.
Right.
You're only going to see things from people that, you know, you have some level of trust and friendship with because they're on your friends list.
Yep.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, random people showing you things you don't want to see.
Excellent. So there you go. So you've got it's been a theme of twos.
Do we have to do the rest of the show in twos?
No, I don't think so.
Because this was completely accidental.
Now we've completely ruined it.
Yeah, we kind of did it to death.
Yeah, we've done it to death.
It wasn't really even that interesting in the first place.
So that's Xbox 101, thank you, E. Always something interesting, which clears the path for us to talk about gadgets. You already talked about your PS3 gadget.
Mm-hmm.
Really expensive gadget.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then what are some of the other gadgets you got? Oh, I want to talk about this one.
Yeah, so we may have talked about it before, but for a long time I've been thinking about getting a Roomba.
Why don't you explain what a Roomba is?
So for listeners who don't know, go to iRobot.com if you want information. The Roomba is a small robot vacuum. And it's about, you know, it's like the size of a large dinner plate and a few inches thick. And it has a little charging dock. And it wakes up and it goes and vacuums a few rooms. And then it goes back to the dock and goes to sleep and recharges its battery so it can do it again later. And pretty much all you have to do is, you know, dump out the dustbin and, you know, clean the spindles every once in a while.
So it's a robot that cleans your floors.
It's a robot that cleans your floors. So I've partially hired new cleaning people. I hadn't gotten one for a while because I have two large dogs, one of which is long-haired, and the dog-haired dust bunnies I thought would be a little much for a small robot. But they've actually put a lot of work into improving them, and I'm very impressed with how well Chibi Roomba is working.
Chibi
Roomba.
Is that its name? Is that like a Cabbage Patch doll?
No.
Does it come out of the box with a name?
You didn't get the reference?
No, I did, but did you name it?
Did you really get the reference?
Just when you said it.
You didn't.
I didn't at all.
So there was a really good GameCube game called Chibi Robo.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, okay. And there's
your girlfriend used to play it all the time. She loves it.
Right. And there's now a DS version, Chibi Robo Park Patrol, which just came out like a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So she's been playing the crap out of that. So when we were trying to figure out what to name it, Chibi Roomba came to mind. It's perfect. So
it's perfect. It's kind of a stretch.
The
name really, it's a stretch.
For my level of geekiness, it's really kind of perfect.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Chibi is doing a phenomenal job and actually cleaning a lot more of the house than I thought he would. I thought he would be limited.
How do you know
by...
it's a he?
Chibi? Chibi's not a girl's name.
I'm just asking.
It seems pretty obvious to me. Maybe not to you. But Chibi is actually able to get all of my downstairs. So the dining room, the kitchen, the living room, and that one hallway that runs down to the garage.
Yep. That whole thing?
He cleans all of that.
Wow.
And then puts himself back to sleep.
How often does it do this?
You can actually program it. You can set up a schedule with how often it should go and vacuum.
Do you use a computer to do that?
No. It's all from the robot. It's got
cool
buttons on the front. It's actually got voice prompts. It'll talk you through setup if you want it to. But the thing I really like is it has like musical tones for different situations.
Yeah.
So before the party, I set it loose like an hour before the party to clean up some of the dog hair. and it's running around doing its thing. It's finished, and it's trying to go back to the dock. And you can tell because actually, like, the dock lights up, or the dock, the word dock on the robot actually lights up. And the path it was taking was blocked because my girlfriend was still finishing up my costume.
Mm-hmm.
And it has bumpers on it, so when it detects something, it gently bumps into them and then changes direction, tries to find another way around. Couldn't get around. So I just went over and picked him up, and it made kind of a sound.
It was sad.
Yeah, it was a sad sound. And I carried him over to the dock and put him down, and he made a very happy melody and then went to sleep.
Oh, that's cool. So
it works amazingly well. I'm already thinking about getting another one.
Roomba's big. I have to take a look at those. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with them.
I mean, like everything else we buy, Costco.
Is that a Costco?
Costco's got a bundle. Nice little. It's got the Roomba 550, which is one of the top of the line models. It's got two of their virtual lighthouses, which basically they send out IR beams that let you tell it things like, don't go into this room, don't go past this point, that kind of thing. So you can section it off if you want to. And it kind of, what else did it come with? Like some extra filters and brushes.
And 10 gallons of peanut butter?
No. I'm sure they have 10 gallons.
That's the kind of stuff you buy at Costco.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually come with the Roomba.
All right, Roomba, I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah, very cool.
I'm supposed to get a new phone this week. I'm traveling next week. Let's talk about
that.
Where
are you going?
We talked about this last week. I'm going on Monday. I'm going to Edmonton.
Oh,
for BioWare.
That's right.
I'm going to go see Brent, who used to work with us.
Hi, Brent.
And then on Tuesday, I'm going to Washington, D.C. for...
You're getting the Medal of Honor?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't know what I'm doing there, actually.
You just know you're going to Washington,
I have to
D.C.
go. I don't know exactly.
The Smithsonian's very cool. You should check it
out. Oh, yeah. Air and Space Museum?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You honestly don't know why you're going
freeze
to Washington?
Freeze-dried ice cream. I'm doing something for the family settings, our regional VP.
Sure.
I'm doing something for that.
Did you know you can buy freeze-dried ice cream?
Where?
I think it's edmundscientific.com.
I will do
that.
You know,
the guys with all the giant magnets and lasers. And
all the stuff you need to do when you're doing science class.
Right. I'm pretty sure they have astronaut ice cream.
Have you? You've had that.
Yeah.
What's your flavor? Is it vanilla?
It
all tastes the same.
It's not, you know, as good as the dryers I have in my freezer.
speaking of interesting food, I'm sitting in my office this week by myself doing my work. And it was like Tuesday or Wednesday. And these two ginormous boxes show up. And I have to
right.
sign for them.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell are these things? I can't imagine what they are. So I open them up. You know what they are?
I do know what they are because you tried to get me to take a box.
Boxes of Doritos.
Yes.
Because a couple months ago, I did the Doritos event and flew around. And
Unlock the Xbox.
In fact, you can go up and vote on them right now. And I notified some of the winners. So the Doritos guys sent me two cases of Doritos. All these flavors.
Yeah.
I actually gave them out for Halloween here in my office.
Well, and you gave one of the boxes to someone who works for me, and then she came and tried to give it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some of the ops people. That's right.
Uh-huh.
They were trying to take care of them. So we've got Doritos, if you like Doritos. And check out Unlock the Xbox.
Yep. How long does the voting for that go?
I think it goes another week. For some reason, the 11th sticks in my mind. I'll put a link off to that on the blog.
Okay.
What else do I have in here? I think that's it. E. We got
shoes.
We got well. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the shoes. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Speaking of next week, big show next week.
It is.
I'm not going to tell you, but next week we're going to do something that's never before been done in podcasting. We're going to announce it. I don't want to say that. That's too big.
Wait, that's too big. Yeah, I'm sitting here going, "What on earth?"
That's like Pac-Man Championship Edition style. I don't want to say that. I'm not going to say that.
Okay, so it's not something that's never been done before.
No,
it's something that isn't done a lot.
Yeah, we're going to do something pretty cool next week, and it's all around Xbox Live, and it's basically counting down for Xbox Live is going to be 5 years old, and I have some very special shows planned.
My baby's growing up.
Yeah, so you were here 5 years ago when this thing, and it's...
I was here, it's over 6.5 years I've been on this team.
Right, because you were working on it much before we launched.
Yeah.
Wow, so we're I don't want to talk about it now, but next week we're going to talk about the fifth anniversary of Live, and you're going to hear next week from me some of the stories he has about putting the service together. Not just you, but I have a bunch of people coming on the show.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now, and it's going to be very, very cool.
So that's it. This is not as big as...
It's not something that's never been done in podcasting before, but it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up now. So thanks for downloading the show. It's been great. E, thanks for coming on over. It's always a pleasure to have you over here. I want to thank Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. Also, thanks to CacheFly for their file storage and serving services. Thanks so much for that. Got anything to add, E?
Happy eating of the Halloween candy. Your neighbor the dentist should be happy.
My neighbor the dentist should be happy. He's very happy. I don't know what he gave out. You know, I didn't go over to his house probably.
So probably the worst, you know, least healthy candy he could find. He's drumming up business.
Well, he comes over to my house sometimes, and I'll give him gummy bears, which are the worst, and he eats them. So we have a very interesting relationship because, you know, we're okay with eating the candy, and then I go to sit in the chair, and he yells at me. It's very bizarre. it's strange. I'm like, dude, what do you do? We just had gummy bears 2 days ago. So that's pretty much it. Thanks for downloading my show. Remember to have fun, play fair, send feedback, and file a complaint. And I'm going to stop now because we didn't talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not ending the show. Stop.
No. Yep.
Let's get back on the show train.
Hang on. We got to talk about this.
So,
did we even write this down?
Oh, we did write it down.
It says right there.
And we completely spaced
on. Don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid. So that. No, wait a minute. You added that.
Yeah, but that's the shorthand we use when we're doing this.
So what I'm talking about is I made a post this week, which has caused a little bit of it kind of went through the internet community. Long story short is it was entitled Xbox Live Account Sharing and Game Save Tampering. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
So we have, you know, if you're playing with somebody in Halo 3 and they say, hey, I can get you ranked up or get you leveled up so that you can get that armor or whatever, those skulls, don't do it. First of all, sharing your account information. When I say that, I mean giving somebody randomly that you don't know. And frankly, it could be even somebody at school or at work that you don't know
it doesn't matter if you know them or not.
Right. Your account information to recover your account on their Xbox 360, that's a no-no.
That's the equivalent of saying, here's my debit card and my PIN number.
Yeah.
Please don't do anything wrong with it before you give it back to me.
Right. So don't do that. And then the other one that's frankly a little more disturbing is people that are tampering with game saves, specifically using some game saves to inflate their gamer score.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Some people have gotten the impression that we don't care. We care very much.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have gotten the impression that we're not going to do anything about it. We're going to do something about it.
So think long and hard about that and be very careful. And what I'm telling you right now, I don't want to say it's an idle threat, but we're just going to leave it at that. Most important thing is don't do it because it's just going to – there's going to be badness.
Just remember, when you do things like that, you're violating the terms of use. Anything could happen to you. You could lose your gamer score. You could lose your account. It's a bad thing.
Bad thing. So be careful. Be smart.
Play fair.
Play fair and have fun. So we're going to wrap it up right now. Glad we remember to do that, because I know that some people probably were wondering. Oh, before we go, one more thing. This is two false stops now.
Okay.
Now we're in the method two. Some people have emailed me and asked me, say, well, if I keep my account on an MU and go to a friend's house, is that – no, that's perfect. That's fine.
You know? And even the occasional account recovery
right.
is fine. Now, if your account gets recovered, you know, a whole bunch of times in a day and it's getting recovered, you know, all over the country.
Yeah. Red flag.
That's a little weird.
Red flag.
But, you know, hey, I'm going on vacation. I'm at my friend's house. Oh, I forgot my MU. I'm going to do an account recovery and recover again in a week when I get home. That's fine.
Don't feel bad about that. I mean, yeah, I guess that's all we can say about that.
Basically, if you're being, you know, you're being smart and you're playing within the spirit of the rules, you're going to be fine.
Right.
If you're doing something and you're like, this feels kind of, you know, slimy, chances are you shouldn't be doing it.
Which, you know, that just doesn't go for Xbox Live. That pretty much goes for the rest of life, too.
Yeah, really it does.
So those are your life lessons for me and Major Nelson. So thanks, guys. Going to wrap it up now. We'll have fun, play fair. Also, send
your
feedback.
We're wrapping
it up right now.
For the third time.
I will talk to you. We'll talk to you next week where we're going to kick off the show that's going to talk about the 5th anniversary of Xbox Live. E will be here to tell some of his hysterical behind the scenes story, and we're gonna have outtakes.
Are they hysterical? Oh no, we're not doing the outtakes. You son of a...
No, we won't have outtakes. We'll have outtakes about putting the service together.
Okay, those we can have. What? No, I know where you're going with this. No,
okay.
You can't play that.
Okay, all right,
it's out of context.
Email, send me an email, major@xbox.com, if you have any questions or concerns, or you want any feedback on this show.
And if you have any questions or concerns for me, email major@xbox.com.
Or you can just send E a message. Or I want to thank everybody. Lithion, thanks for working on the blog. You're still tweaking the design a little bit.
It's looking good.
Yeah, we're gonna we gotta end the show now. This is the end of the show.
The show's over.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.